Well, hello, welcome, welcome to Story River, you beautiful human being. It's Tina Constant here, and you know the jibber jabber's at the end, so we're jumping right into this week's story, which is called The Knots in Your Family Line. Now, Kasaba was 12 when the village finally got together and decided they had to do something about the horrors that woke her in the night. "I haven't slept in a week," wailed an old man. "Her screams are deafening." It took a look from the elders to suggest that the old man should think a little less of himself and more perhaps of what Kasaba was going through. But no one could disagree. Kasaba's cries and screams were keeping the entire village awake. "They're memories," Kasaba's mother said, "but they can't be her own. They're of murder and bloodshed and destruction and chaos." All the village had memories that they didn't think were their own. None quite like Kasaba, but strange memories nonetheless. "Give us time to think on it," the elders said, and they took themselves into their huts to contemplate the issue. 3 weeks later, and the elders still hadn't come out. Kasaba's mother finally said, "The world is young enough that the gods are watching. Kasaba isn't the only one who cries out in the night. She's merely the worst afflicted. We need to go to the gods for help." No one wanted to do that. The gods were unpredictable. The last time the people had gone to the gods with a problem, they took all the water out of a lake and turned it into dry, crusty, salted earth. The elders decided to give it one more cycle of the moon. If Kasaba hadn't improved, then they would do what had to be done. Needless to say, by the time the new moon came, Kasaba was mad with despair, and the village was exhausted. "We have no choice," the village elder said, and Kasaba's mother, Iliash, volunteered to be the one to take her child to the mountaintop. The journey was long, and it was hard. There were times when the rocks were sharp and Kasaba had to be carried. There were times on the mountain when food was scarce, but Kasaba was always fed. There were times when there was only a trickle of water in a stream, but Kasaba always drank first. It took 3 cycles of the moon, and finally, with bleeding feet and broken bones, Iliash arrived at the gate. She knocked and she shouted and she pleaded, but no one came. She rattled the gates and even tried to climb them, but the higher she climbed, the taller they grew. She got to her knees and begged and pleaded for her daughter's sanity, but there was nothing but silence from the gods. "I will not leave until you see me," she shouted until her voice was hoarse. And with that, she built a shelter. She lit a fire, she hunted and prepared food, she found a stream and she carried water, and in the night, while her daughter slept, she stayed awake and soothed her when the memories came thick and strong. Through all this, Iliash had her own memories to contend with. She let them flow and focused on her child. And so the pair lived, all the way through autumn, through winter, and into spring. It was on the first warm day of the spring season, after the snow had melted and the blossoms bloomed, when a young girl came to the gate. Iliash was tired and weak, but still she stood up and wiped her hands clean as she could and approached the child. "Are you a god?" Iliash asked, and the child shook her head. "No. My name is Sava. I am the child of a child of a child of a god, 7th down the line." And simply because Iliash had no one else to speak to, she told Sava why she was there. And Sava, with eyes wide, said she knew exactly what Iliash meant. She knew it because she had the same kind of memories. Strangers in her sleep, horrors and volcanoes and crashing earth. The two spoke and compared notes, and because one was human and the other was merely the 7th generation of a god, they imagined all the ways they might solve the problem and save Kasaba. While they talked, they gathered reeds and wove and knotted them together. "We could never sleep," the young god said. "I have an uncle who does that." Yeah, but they both agreed that humans couldn't do that for long. "We could sleep in turns and wake each other up when the memories come." And they agreed that that was no way to live a life. Finally, Ilyash looked at the reeds in her hands. If only there was a way to block them, just to stop them. And she tied another knot. The more they wove and knotted and talked about the strange and unfamiliar memories, the better they felt. It was the company, they decided, or the warm weather, or the sunshine, or the sharing of their worries. When the sun set, Sava ran back through the gate, promising to return in the morning. Holding onto the memories of the day and letting her mind drift through every memory that flooded her mind, whether it was hers or not, Ilyash hugged Kasaba close, combed out her hair, and wove the thick, dark strands into a knotted braid. While she worked, Kasaba stirred in her sleep, but the screams and cries did not come. Needing something to do to keep her awake, Kasaba's mother undid the braid so she could create a new design. But the more she undid the knots in her daughter's hair, the more restless the child became. So Ilyash redid the braid. "How can this be?" she whispered. And holding her child close, she undid the braid once more and watched Kasaba's face crease in fear. In a hurry, Ilyash redid the braid firm and tight and knotted it at the end so it could not come loose. And to her amazement, Kasaba slept. For the first time in her life, Kasaba slept without a single cry. The next day, when the sun was high in the sky, Ilyash turned when she heard the young goddess approach. Now Ilyash didn't know whether to stand on her feet or fall to her knees or hide and run, because the child hadn't come alone. Walking behind her was another god. Ilyash recognized him immediately. It was Kruas, the creator and caretaker of the tree of life itself. Ilyash couldn't wait to share the news. She told them what had happened in the night. "I used the same knots we were using in the reeds. And look at her, she's still sleeping like she's catching up on a life of rest." Kruas studied Ilyash like she was a creation he didn't recognize. Then, because he was a god and had little regard for the details of each human, he reached down and, using strong fingers, he unbound Kasaba's braid. "No!" Ilyash threw herself as Kasaba began to writhe and scream. The god held Ilyash back. "I needed to be sure," he said, and tightened the knot and left it in place. Then he turned to Ilyash. "You have come to the home of the gods. Tie a knot in my daughter's hair. If her memories wake her this night, you and your child will die on the mountain. If my daughter sleeps..." Without finishing his words, the god turned and walked back up the mountain. With shaking hands, Ilyash tied Sava's hair in a tight and intricate knot. For a second night, Kasaba slept. Ilyash did not. She sat at the gate and peered through the trees and the clouds for any clue of what was happening where the gods lived. What if the young god doesn't sleep? As the moon moved through the stars, Ilyash tried to work out what to do if Sava didn't sleep. She could run, she decided. She would take Kasaba and hide in a cave. But no, the gods would find her. She could plead for her daughter's life and offer up hers instead. But she knew nothing would work. If the gods decided she would die, then she surely would. But when the sun rose the next morning, Ilyash decided that she didn't care whether the young goddess had slept or not, because Kasaba was awake. Wide awake, awake and smiling, awake and talking, awake and eating and drinking and dancing. There was so much joy, Ilyash didn't even notice Kruas until he was standing at the gate. "You have work to do," was all he said. Eliash had no idea what to expect. Did Sava sleep? Were they being led to their deaths? What kind of work did Cruas have in mind? It was Kasaba who noticed Sava first. "I slept," she said. "I slept all night. Not a single memory, not one." With her heart soaring high to the heavens, Eliash left the children playing and followed Cruas into a barn. The building was taller and wider and deeper than any structure Eliash had ever seen or imagined could exist. Inside, the barn was thick with a million strands of thick, luxurious hair. One strand of hair for every human who lives or has ever lived, Cruas explained. All the strands for each family hang together. Eliash ran her hands through the strands. The barn was full, from ceiling to floor, different colors and lengths and textures. "This is how we keep the families connected," the god said. "But no matter what we've tried, memories have been flowing from one generation to the next unimpeded. Memories of battles from one generation flow into the minds of the next generation as if it's their own, driving them to the edge of insanity. The world," Cruas said, "is only 7 generations old. Without a solution, humanity cannot survive. We have been struggling to find an answer. It seems, Eliash, you have it in your hands. Do what you did for your child and for mine. Tie your knots. If you do and it gives the world peace, you will live with the gods for all time." Eliash closed her eyes for only a moment. She thought of her family and her village. She thought of all those who came before her and all those who are yet to come. And with Kasaba and Sava playing at her feet, Eliash began to bind and knot and tie the strands of hair together. One by one, the memories of all the ancestors ceased to flow unimpeded, and the 7th generation of humankind took a breath, lived a day in peace, and were able to call their memories their own. To this day, Eliash lives with the gods, tying knots in the family lines. The knots in your hair, when you wake up in the morning, that's her doing. It's because of her that we don't live and relive the memories of our ancestors. Sometimes, though, despite her best efforts, memories do wind their way through the knots. And we call them dreams. Hey, how's your beautiful day? Right now, I am in Sherwood Forest. Robin Hood land. Wow, and I don't know if you could hear the crows and the birds out there in the background. Yeah, there's a lot of wildlife here. We are kind of here, you know, and we exist and we are who we are and how we are because of the generations that come before us. You know, whether we know it or not, whether we understand or even whether we know or understand their whole stories. We come because of the generations before us, whether we're related or not, you know, we learn from the world. Anyway, well, if you're in the mood for another cup of tea, you can amble along to www.tinaconstant.com, that is constant with a K, and pick up more Story River tales. All right, have a beautiful day. Go and hug the people you love. And, you know, have good dreams about your ancestors and all that. All right, big hugs. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.